And so let's look at Jacob, and we're going to read in Genesis 32. And I don't want to just talk about this moment. I'm going to finish there. But I think we've got to look at the whole person of Jacob. And we understand the context of his life and his struggles and his conflict and some of the challenges he faced in just living life. And I think I don't just want to preach a sermon that we all go, we now understand Jacob, but how that applies to us. How can we live out our life? You with me here? And so we're going to look at the whole person just today. We're going to finish up over here with the cows, all right? Genesis 32, verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives. If you're new and visiting Wave Church, you're probably thinking, what kind of church am I attending this morning? Two wives. All right? And his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he sent them across the stream and he sent over all his possessions and Jacob was left alone. How many know sometimes it's a good thing to have some time alone? It says, and Jacob was left alone. And a man, the Bible says, wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And then the man said, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you struggle with God and with humans, and you've overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? And then he blessed him. You see, when I read this story, there's a name change. You with me here? And God's into changing people's names. He did it a lot. Abram to Abraham. You mean Peter? He was Simon, got changed to Peter. James and John got changed to the sons of Boanerges. And so there's Saul became Paul. There was a whole lot of name changing because that name change was to reflect a new identity. And here we read about this conflict between who we really are and how we'd like others to see us. Here is Jacob, and he's the main, and Jacob had some issues, let's be honest. Jacob had some struggles, didn't he? He wasn't perfect, but I don't have to preach about Jacob to bring that out. I can talk about Abraham, who was a liar. I can talk about Noah, who got drunk and naked. I can talk about Moses, who was a murderer and a fugitive on the run. But today we're going to look at Jacob because, you know, don't ever go to a church where someone tells you that God can only use perfect people. Because here God puts this story in the Word to help us understand something. And this is not the first time Jacob appears. Actually, Jacob in this story is wrestling. But Jacob, the very first mention of who Jacob is Jacob wrestling again. And look what the Bible says here in Genesis 25. And it says in verse 21, Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because he was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other, listen to this, in the womb. In the womb. There's some jostling. There's some wrestling. They're struggling with each other in the womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. That's a really good thing to look at that right there. So, you know, sometimes when we have issues going on that we don't understand, we love to talk to other people about it. We love to talk to our friends and all the rest of it. But I love what she did. She went to the Lord. And I think sometimes we're too quick to go to somebody else, and our source always ought to be first the Lord. You can call a pastor, you can call a friend, you can call the church, you can call a connect group leader, but I pray we go to the Lord first. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. So she went, the Bible says, she went to the Lord about it. And then the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and the older son will serve the younger. And when the time for her to give birth, Rebekah discovered she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair and a fur coat, and they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born, watch this, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. And so they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born, and the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoors man. He was a fisherman. He was a hunter. He knew how to cast a fly rod. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Jacob moisturized. And here we read a story about how they were fighting in the womb. There was a wrestle. We just read a story about Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And now we read, even at his birth, the brother was a wrestler. And when we read the story, we kind of think, well, there's some fighting going on in the womb. And I actually think whenever God is ready to do something new, when God's ready to birth something new, there's always conflict. There's always tension. I actually think that's how God does things. Now, Esau was a hairy man. The Bible says he was born and he had like a coat of fur, and he was a hairy man. How many men are willing to admit here today, you're a hairy man? Can I see your hand over here? Where else are there? Are there any other people willing to admit you're a hairy man? Yeah, well done. Now that's Jacob. That's Esau, but that's not Jacob. Jacob stayed at home and he learned how to cook in the kitchen. You with me here? And the meaning of the word Jacob literally means heel grabber. That's not a good start in life, is it? What's your name? Jacob. What does that mean? I grab at other people's heels. Okay? It literally means, and when we read this, we don't understand what's really going on. What's really going on is, you know, in his birth, he was trying to get ahead. He was trying to get out first. He was trying to be the firstborn. They were wrestling in the womb for position to be first. And Esau came out first, but Jacob wouldn't let go of his heel. He wanted to be first. And we read that and go, well, what's all that about? Because in that day, in that tradition, let me just tell you, being born first had rights and privileges. I mean, for instance, think about it here. The firstborn gets a bigger piece of the inheritance. It wasn't split evenly. The firstborn got the biggest part of the inheritance. There's a good reason to want to be first. You get more. And we're talking also today, in this service right now, we're talking to our service in Norfolk and our service in Richmond. We're talking to our services in Wilson and Greenville. And we're doing this in Los Angeles because I want to set up this, what this looks like in terms of what we're believing for provision for the house, and to teach you what faith looks like. And here we see this young man, this baby, who wants to be first. The firstborn gets the bigger part. He was born with a me first mentality. And let me tell you, we live in a me first world. One of the commercials I hate the most on television is, it's my money and I want it now. I hate that. That is the most narcissistic, self-centered. Oh, I hate that commercial. I just, you know, give me what I want, and I want what I want now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Take, take, take. My name's Jake. We live in a me-first world. And I've got a question. How can we have a God-first focus in a me-first world? How do we have a God-first focus? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. But here's Jacob grabbing at the heel, wanting to be firstborn. We live in a generation that is me first. And Jesus puts it this way. He says, listen, the last will be first and the first will be last. If you live a me first, if you live in a me first world, you will be miserable. You'll be the heel grabber. You'll be wanting to go after the firstborn. You want to be first. But Jesus said, if you want to be first, you'll be last. And the last will be first. When you live in a me-first world, you're never happy. Because no matter how much people do anything for you, it's never enough, because it's always me first. And we live in a generation that is all about me. Amen. You'll never be satisfied. Jesus put it this way. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul in return? Grabbing after success, grabbing after stuff, grabbing after status. Jacob also means not just heel grabber, but it means deceiver. He was born. Imagine that. Your name means deceptive. What is your name? I am a deceiver. I'm a heel grabber. I'm me first. I look after myself. If I was just born 5 minutes earlier, I'm grabbing a hold of my brother's heel. Never satisfied, never happy. And my life is means nothing but deception. Esau was the outdoors man. Jacob was the cook. You got it? So there's two parts of being first, and I got to set this up so you know what it looks like. There's two parts of being first. Number one is the birthright. And of course, we already know, as I shared just a minute ago, the firstborn son gets the bigger portion of the inheritance. It's not as if the family didn't get an inheritance, but the firstborn had certain rights and privileges that not everybody else in the family got. He got the bigger portion. Now, Jacob, whose name means heel grabber, chasing after being first, wants somehow to get the birthright from his brother. We know that. He was born grabbing at his heel. So Esau, the outdoor man, comes in from hunting. He's got no food. He's been starving. And Jacob says, if you like the soup I've made for you, give me your birthright. And Esau gave over his birthright for a bowl of soup. You know, sometimes I think we give up what we want most for what we want now. And that's what he did. Esau gave up what he wanted most for what he wanted now. He couldn't think past lunch. He actually gave up what he wanted most because he wanted something now. And Jacob got it. Jacob got the birthright. But not only he's a heel grabber, not only is he me first, but now he wants the second part of the dad's blessing, which is the blessing of the father. And that goes always to the firstborn son. And so now Jacob has a plan to get the blessing. Let's look at the plan. Okay, Genesis 27, verse 1 to 19. He wants the blessing. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son. And he said, my son, here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I'm an old man. I don't know for the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and your bow, go out into the open country to hunt and bring some wild game for me. Prepare for me a kind of a tasty meal that I like. Bring it to me that I may eat, and then I will give you my blessing before I die. This is a big moment. Esau's already lost the birthright. He already gave this up, but this is the second thing that the firstborn gets, is the blessing of the dad. And the dad wants to make sure that Esau got it because the father favored Esau and the mother favored Jacob. Parents, it's always a mistake to have favorites. Come on, don't put trips on your children. And so look what the Bible says here. Now, Rebekah was listening to Isaac and speak to his son Esau. That's Isaac's wife. And when Esau left for the open country to hunt game to bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother. And he goes, and she goes, bring me some game, prepare me some tasty food that I may give it to you. And it says, and give me my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now, my son, listen carefully to what I tell you. Go out into the flock and bring me two choice young goats. I'll prepare a tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. And then take it to your father that he may give you his blessing before he dies. And Jacob said to his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man. I moisturize. I've got smooth skin. What if my father touches me? It would appear that I'm tricking him and he would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. Now, I want you to notice here, it wasn't Jacob saying, no way, mom, that's wrong. He's saying, how can I get away with it without getting caught? He's a heel grabber. He's a deceiver. And the mother's in on it. And look what happens now. It's amazing to me. He goes, and the mother said, well, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say and go and get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. She prepared the tasty food just the way the father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had laid in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. And she covered his hands with the smooth part of his hands. And the Bible says, at his neck with goat skins. She handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread that she had made. When he went in to his father, he said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Everybody say, who is it?
Who is it?
Say, who is it?
Who is it?
And so Jacob said to the father, I am Esau, your firstborn. So firstborn. Your first bun. Your firstborn son. I'm Esau. Who was it? Church, it's not a trick question. Who was it? And he says, who is it? And who did he say he was? Who was it? Everybody got it? Say, got it, you got it. I'm your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up, eat some food and game, that you may give me your blessing. You know, you can get so good at being somebody else that not even the people closest to you know who you are anymore. You can get so good at being somebody else that the people who are even closest to you don't even know who you are anymore. You can so get into the heel grabbing, so get into being something you're not, trying to get other people to see you the way you would like them to see you rather than who you really are. Come on. That even the people who are closest to you don't even know who you are anymore. I think about that, and I think about, you know, I think about young teenage boys, and I love teenage boys. How many love teenage boys? And I love teenage girls, and I love young people. But I watch some of these young teenagers, and they go to school, these young girls, and they dress in a manner. They're wearing Esau's clothes. They got to come off like a little bit of flirty. And there's a difference between being attractive and seductive. And they want other people to see them differently than who they really are. And they're willing to compromise and wear somebody else's clothes rather than being true to who they are. I think the young teenage boys who kind of feel like, well, they've got a soft heart, but they don't feel like they can afford to be all that soft and tender at school. They got to come across bad and mean. And it's all about living out a persona, and you're wearing somebody else's clothes. I think about business people, and I think about business people who kind of feel like, well, you know, for me to be successful in life, for me to go after life, for me to be what I want to do, that, you know, I've got to wear somebody else's clothes. I got to be bad and tough, and I want other people to see me this way. And actually, you actually end up so deceiving, not just the person that you're deceiving, but you're also deceiving yourself because you're not really being true to who you are. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I sure hope this gets better because I'm pretty discouraged right now. You know, Isaac said, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Esau comes home from hunting to give him a choice meal, and he finds out what Jacob did. Now, you got to keep in mind, Esau's come home from where? So how many know the brother's got weapons? What weapon does Jacob have? A frying pan? That's all he knows. And so now, watch what happens. Jacob gets the, not only does he get the birthright, but he gets the blessing through deception, through lying, through wearing his brother's clothes, not being true to who he is. Come on, someone say amen. And now Jacob's on the run for 21 years. You know, it's possible to get what you want, but not want what you get. Come on, someone say amen. Man, I've seen some people, they look good while they're dating somebody, and then you didn't take the time really to get to know the person. And then you end up marrying them a little bit too quickly. You got what you want, but when you got what you want, you don't want what you get. You thought you were marrying Prince Charming, and you found out you married Freddy Krueger. Come on. It's possible to get what you want, but not want what you got. Come on, someone say amen. And the whole thing is, when you get it the wrong way. You know, we can wear Esau's clothes, but we can't enjoy it when we get it because we got it wrong. Come on, someone say amen. What good is the blessing of Isaac if you can't stay in the house after you get it? You're on the run because you did it wrong. Come on, someone say amen. Yeah. Think about it. What good is it to fool Isaac, but you fool yourself? You're fooling yourself. You know, the business person, the teenager, the young person, the pastor trying to create this picture of the church, and he so wants people to see things differently, and God can only anoint you. The anointing is on the real you, not trying to be something everybody else wants you to be. I gave that up years ago trying to please everybody. I can't do it. I can only be me. Amen. And you, and here's the thing. I hear so many people say to me, but the only way to get ahead in life and business is by willing to lie and bend the truth. And can I tell you, that's not true. Oh, okay. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. And here, 21 years running. And then when we read that story about Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord, most people believe that was Jesus, that whom Jacob was wrestling. When we read that story, I have a question for you. How old do you think Jacob was? How old? What picture do you have? All right, let me put it this way. Let's talk about this story. Let's talk about Jacob, and let's talk about him in his father's house with his mother and his brother. How old do you think he was then? Okay, a lot of us would think maybe a teenager in his early 20s. He was 76 years old. I'm thinking, when's this boy going to move out of home? 76 years old. And now, because Esau wants to get him, and he's on the run, he's been on the run for 21 years. All right, so do the numbers. Okay, when we read the first story about him wrestling with the angel of the Lord, do you know how old he was? Okay, work it out. 76 plus 21. The brother is 97. No wonder his hip went out. He's been grabbing a hold of things. He's been grabbing heels. He's been getting the birthright. He's been stealing the blessing. And let me just say this to you. Look at Genesis 32, verse 26. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Yeah. Everything Jacob did was heel grabbing. Everything Jacob did was trying to be first. He was born trying to be first. He was willing to figure out a way. How can I get my brother's birthright? How can I steal the blessing of my father from my brother? Right. Everything that Jacob did was going after me first. Everything that Jacob did was trying to look after numero uno. And now we read a story again where now he's wrestling with at least an angel of the Lord. Most people believe it was actually a form of Christ. And here he is. He's now wrestling with the one that he knows that can bless him. Everything, all the heel grabbing, all the me first, all of that. He's now standing and wrestling with the one that can do it. And the angel says, "Let me go." They've been wrestling all night. "Let me go. The day is coming." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Everything I've been chasing after, every heel I've ever grabbed, every lie I've ever told, every scheme I've ever come up with, it's all come to nothing. But now I'm standing in front of the one who has the power to bless me. "I won't let you go until you bless me." You know that you find yourself, listen to this, when you hold on to God, when it's easier to let go. You know you found yourself when it would have been easier to let go of this thing, and then he wouldn't have walked with a limp. You know you find yourself when you're holding on to God, even when it hurts. Come on. Come on, give God a hand if you're going to do it. Here's the thought. Don't tap out. Here's Jacob. He's learning again at his birth. He was wrestling. Here he is again, wrestling. Come on. He says, "I was holding on to Esau when I was born, but now I'm holding on to you. I'm not holding on any longer to status. I'm not hanging on any longer to stuff. I'm not hanging on any longer to success. I'm not hanging on any longer to position of who's first. I just understand if I got a hold of you, you will bless me. And I'm letting go of the heel. I'm letting go of success. What is a profit man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" Come on. I'm going to let go of the me first mentality. I'm going to do God first. And I love this because Genesis 32 verse 27, the man asked him, "What is your name?" Now, before we answer the question, wasn't he asked that question earlier? Who asked him that question? His father Isaac said, "Who are you? What is your name?" And Jacob walked in and said, "I am Esau." And now here he is again being asked the same question. But this time he's learned something. This time he's wrestled with God and he realizes that God has the power to bless. And he doesn't have to do it through heel grabbing. And listen to what he said. He goes, they call me, or my name is heel grabber. My name is deceiver. My name is Jacob. And I always think to myself when I read that, that's an incredible timing of when to get acquainted. You've been wrestling all night, now you ask him what his name is? See, and isn't it interesting, the knit that when Jacob asked the angel or the Lord, what is your name? The Lord never answered him what his name was, because the Lord wasn't so much in him knowing who he was. He wanted Jacob to know who he was. Jacob, who are you? Yeah, I'm the deceiver. I'm the heel grabber. I'm not Esau. I tried grabbing Esau. I'm not that. I lied to my dad. This is who I am. Can I tell you something? I think that's one of the most powerful things for a person to do is when they realize who they are. The conflict actually gets better when you can at least admit where you are. And I think it's fascinating because I think if you just go forward just a few generations later, and we read about Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then we read about the children of Israel in the wilderness and how they were in Egypt. And when God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. And I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses says, but Lord, who will I say? Send me. What will I tell them? And the Lord tell them that I am who I am has sent you. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and why wouldn't he call him Israel? That's the better name. That's the new identity. Why wouldn't the Lord change his name to Israel, but he still said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is okay with your humanity, and God doesn't hide people's weaknesses. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of the heel grabber, and I've got the power to change someone's life. I don't know about you, but if you're trying to tell a story, you're trying to tell the best story. But God doesn't hide someone's weakness and someone's brokenness and someone's humanity. God's comfortable with your humanity. It's about time you got comfortable with your own. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to me, not you. Amen. Now let's close this story. I got to land this. Singers, musicians, come on back. Because watch this now. I want you to see this. Let's get here. What's all this about? Jacob's been grabbing at heels. He's been chasing after success. You with me here? He's got the birthright. He stole the blessing. He lied and he manipulated. But now he's wrestled with the Lord. He's come to himself. And God gives him a new name and a new identity. And now he wants to go and make good with Esau. He wants to go and reconcile. And now everything he's ever chased after, position, success, status, stuff. He says, I got to get this right. And he says to Laban, his father-in-law, he's been there for 21 years. That's a long time. He's got two wives, two female servants, and 11 children. And he wants to get what he's worked for, some salary to go home and to face up with his brother and to live his own life. And by the way, do you know, I told you, he's 97 years old at that moment. So now here he is. And he speaks to his father and says, look, it's time for me to go. I want to take my wives. I want to take my children. And I want to go home. But I need to get what's coming to me. I got some money coming to me. I've been 21 years here. Have you know the old Jacob would have found a way to scheme it? And by the way, Jacob had a very deceptive father-in-law. Made him work for 14 years to get the daughter he really wanted to marry. You hear me? Jacob could have said, I'll match you pound for pound. But no, Jacob has learned something now, how to live a life of faith. And look what the Bible says in Genesis 30. So he said, Laban said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you'll do this one thing for me, trying to figure out the money, the salary. If you do this one thing for me, I will again pasture and keep your flock. Let me pass through the entire flock today. Remove from there every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black one from among the lambs, and the spotted and the speckled from among the goats,
and so shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer me for later. When you come concerning my wages, everyone that is not speckled and everyone that's not spotted among the goats and among the black among the lambs, if found with me, will be considered stolen. Laban said, good, do it. Be it according to your word. This is a too good to be true deal. Laban's going, you're telling me that every animal, every cow, every goat, every lamb that is solid in its color is mine. Laban, I keep it. But every animal, every lamb, every goat, every cow that's got speckled colors on it is yours. Yep. So Laban takes out all of the speckled animals, removes them, and says to Jacob, now you look after them. And every one of them that gives birth to an animal that's speckled or spotted is yours. Laban's going, I got this baby. I've removed all the speckled animals. All that's left is the solid. But Jacob learned he doesn't have to lie and scheme and manipulate. He's learned how to get a hold of God and do it by faith. He goes up into the mountain. He gets some branches and he pulls back the bark of the branches. And now the cattle come down, the livestock come down to the water where there's a watering trough. And as they come down, he looks at them, they're all solid, but he looks at them through the eye of the branches. And when he sees them through the branches, watch this now, they take on a spotted and speckled color. And all the strong animals that came down to the water, and when they drank and when they made it, he put the branches in front of them. But all the weak and feeble animals, he took away the branches, and then they gave birth to solid color. Laban ended up getting the weaker. Jacob ended up getting the stronger. Jacob ended up because he saw it. He visualized it. That's what this is about.